Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the What in the World is Dyscalculia podcast. I'm Dr. Honora Wall, your host for the podcast, and the show is sponsored by EduCalc Learning. You've probably already been to visit educalclearning.com to get a lot of information, resources, and advice about the math learning disability. If you have not, you really should get over there, or you can visit the dtri.org. Make sure you grab the free brochures and infographics on there that you can share with colleagues, teachers, admin, friends, family, or students who have dyscalculia. It can also help you decide whether or not dyscalculia is the right terminology, diagnosis, name for your math difficulties. But the different types of math difficulties aside, that's another podcast. Today's episode, I want to talk about something that came up in a session at the CASE conference, which I am enjoying very much, and that is talking again in the world of accommodations and in the world of goal writing for IEPs and 504s. In the last episode, I talked about generalizability, the importance of a goal that's written to impact multiple areas of a person's life. And today I want to talk about the idea of having those goals be written for appropriate achievement levels. Without going too far down the rabbit hole, the quick way to understand this topic is to know that the goals that are written in an IEP or a 504 document are supposed to help outline exactly what we're going to do to help students support their learning challenges and how we're going to measure and address what worked and how effective they were. We also put into those goals what we expect a student to be able to do by the end of a school year after certain interventions and accommodations have been put into place. And in the last session I was in, there was a lot of discussion about that. Namely, the idea of when we write those goals related to academic achievement and progress, what is achievable? What's happened in the past in a lot of states and has led to quite a few lawsuits is that the goals were not challenging enough, and especially if you're working with SLDs, the specific learning disorders, any kind of neurodivergence. But listen, people, it's true for people with any learning disability. We tend to give goals that are just not appropriate because they are not challenging and they don't help students get to grade level and beyond, and that is really what we're supposed to be doing. Well, that always brings into the conversation the very legitimate question, how exactly do we do that, especially for students who are two, sometimes three grade levels behind their peers? How do we help a student who needs to learn fifth grade math, let's say, who still doesn't have basic adding and subtracting or multiplying and dividing facts memorized? And how do we write a goal for grade level content when we have these gaps in those foundational pieces? So the quick answer is write the academically challenging goal. Students should and could be doing grade level work, period. End of conversation. And I see this happen over and over. I've seen it for years. I'm telling you, it is proven to be true that students with dyscalculia can do grade level work. Here's how you're going to do it. You've heard me talk a lot about using support tools for your accommodations. Depending on grade level, using a 1 to 100s chart, using a times tables list, the old-fashioned multiplication list. If your student has really strong visual spatial skills and you want to give them the multiplication chart, go right ahead, but make sure you use what's best for that student. And then, especially in fifth grade and beyond, training students how to use their calculator, requiring them to use it for precision and accuracy, and using it for those parts and pieces of a problem. You don't need to put 1.37 times 2.89 in a calculator and just get a final answer. You can show the student how to use the standard algorithm for multiplying, starting with the ones place and then doing all the multiplication. Next line at a zero, start with the tens place. You can do each of those individual parts with a calculator or with the multiplication list. That's going to help the student focus on grade level work without being inhibited or impaired by the challenge of their learning disability, which, with dyscalculia, makes their mind literally lose math information once they've learned it. So that piece of fluency and automaticity can be very hard. The parietal lobe is working against the student. So you support that part with that accommodation. Now you can have grade-level conversations about perimeter, area, volume, working with formulas, understanding word problems, because we've removed the piece that's the actual struggle. Once you remove that piece, now we're doing grade-level work. I can assure you, because I've seen it with almost all of my students, I would say all to some degree, when you require precision and require checking the work immediately, hey, we need to multiply 9 times 8, grab that list or grab your calculator, put in 9 times 8, tell me what you get. Look up the 9s on that multiplication list, find 9 times 8, tell me what it says. Now you're only having exposure to the right answer. That's the only thing the brain can code. It's the only neurological connection that can be formed. You're not having the student guess. You're not having them do the work without checking, because now we have no idea what went wrong and what went right. The brain doesn't know what to confirm or deny. Now we have a train wreck. So use those tools. You will find that fluency can increase over time. Does that mean your student with dyscalculia is going to memorize all of the basic facts and know them forever? Probably not. But there are times I got to stop and think about 9 times 8 myself. And I don't have dyscalculia. I have a brain that's full of lots of other knowledge. And sometimes those math facts float around in the back and it takes a minute. So for any student, using these accommodations can increase fluency and increase performance and achievement. In turn, that increases engagement, that increases mastery, that increases self-confidence and our math identity, etc., etc. All of those trending keywords that we talk about so much in education. It can all be done by using the right accommodation. Put that into your IEP goals that you're going to track. If the student uses their tools appropriately and with consistency 85% of the time, they're going to see the results of that work, and they're going to continue because now they want to be precise. And when that pressure is off, now they can engage with you in the conceptual understanding and in the new vocabulary of the grade level work. So quick and easy way, get everybody doing grade level work, put it into your IEP and 504 goals, and go ahead and make them academically challenging, because these students are capable of it. And they wish someone would show them exactly what to do so that they can show you exactly what they are capable of. If you want more information about that, visit either website, educalclearning.com or thedtri.org, or email me, Honora, H-O-N-O-R-A, at either of those, educalclearning.com or thedtri.org. Thank you very much for listening to the What in the World is Dyscalculia podcast. I'm going to hop into another session at this great conference and bring you some new information in the next episode. See you then.